Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you leave this time, I fear that you'll be gone for good. So now hold on like leaves and fall to what is left. Said a father left a young man. He said he'll be back with that same tone that you just said you'll stay forever with. It seems that all the autumn leaves are falling. I feel like you're the only reason for it. All the things you do, all the things you do, all the things you do. All the things you do, all the things you do, all the things you do. It seems that you're the only reason for it. I've been bleeding in your silence. I feel safer in your violence. I hold on like leaves and fall to what is left. Before I sleep, I talk to God. He must be mad with me. It's karma. I'm confused too. I'll spend my forever with. It seems that all the autumn leaves are falling. I feel like you're the only reason for it. All the things you do, all the things you do, all the things you do. All the things you do, all the things you do, all the things you do.
So the iceberg never broke. And I poked at it, and I poked at it, and I poked at it, and I poked, and I poked, and I poked at it, but it stayed stagnant. Then I poked at it some more, and in my notepad, man, I wrote, and I wrote. If I don't have it, if I don't grab it, if it don't chip, then a tote tag is one last of my hope, of my hope. So iceberg, don't float, don't float. If I do manage to do damage to you, damn it, it'll be grandest, 10 Grammys or my granny still standing with a note,
with a note.
That red granite, don't you panic when you make mistakes
the most.
One day it'll make you grow,
you grow.
When you're outlandish and you lose manners, to God you shall consult,
consult.
When the right cameras are still cramming in your face and it provoke,
provoke.
You to act mannish, just stay planet, cause you're reaping what you sow. Keep positivity in your heart and keep a noose from round your throat. And when you get mad and when you poke at it, when you poke at it, just know, man, that iceberg is a reflection of you. When you renew your visions, you think you've had some Titanic. The fuck you would do to a critic, my nigga? Yeah, yeah, tell me when does cry. Do you hear him, love?
Do you hear him, love? Do you hear him?
And if my shit go down, tell me who will it fall. And they won't let me live, even when remorse that I give. When they gon' rejoice and forgive, tell me how I
your views matter to us. Call Hot Talk at 888-550-9105.
And welcome back to Hot Talk. 888-550-9105. You know, Hot Talk after midnight. Many times we've had particularly law enforcement officers on the show. And we talk about, remember the story about the healthcare worker who was shot in the street with his hand up laying on the ground? And there was a lot of debate around that, like, you know, what was wrong with that cop? And a lot of cops pushed back saying that, you know, we're not therapists. We are law enforcement officers. And so my next guest concurs that we should not be expecting law enforcement officers to be therapists and to know how to handle those who are mentally deficient or drug addicted in our communities, and has created a safe place called Fallen Leaves Recovery Center, which is located in the former El Palacio Hotel. And he's here tonight. Nathan Fears, welcome.
Thank you.
How How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
Glad to have you. So now tell me a little bit about Fallen Leaves. I didn't even know Michelle. Ellen Woods reached out to me and told me about you and what you were doing, and I thought it was amazing. So share with the audience how you came to, you know, take El Palacio and flip it into a recovery center.
Well, I've been in this field for 30 years, and I've worked all over the United States. And the last 8 years, I've been a resident of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a consultant, and I've been involved in implementing, designing, and creating programs for adolescents and adults. And my business partners and myself wanted to find a program that was more of a hospital wellness-type model facility to treat those that suffer from mental health and addictions. And we researched several areas from West Palm Beach all the way down to Miami Gardens. We found the El Palacio Hotel. We discussed with the owner our mission, our philosophy,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to lease the building. And it's a perfect location to formulate a wellness center that encapsulates the hospital model. It's
right.
different than the Florida model, which is facilities that are housed in certain areas for clinical, and then they live in residential areas in homes or condos.
You mentioned that to me on when we talked earlier, and I am familiar with the fact that a lot of, there's so many, the Village, there are a lot of them that are treatment centers, but the people go home at night, or they, you know, they live in the community. Now, and you said that's the Florida model. What makes that the Florida model, or is Florida the only place where they do recovery in that way?
Well, there's a few other states that practice the same sort of modality, but the Florida model basically is you can have a center located in a strip mall, you provide all your clinical services in a business building, and then the clients are housed in apartments, condominiums, or houses that are, you know, in local residential areas.
Oh, okay, so that's just not legal in other places.
It's legal, but most people have, other states have facilities that are based similar to the ones we're trying to implement in Miami Gardens.
So is there, would the case be made that there is a greater level of care that you can get from a facility where you are inside, living inside the facility versus the Florida model?
We have 24-hour clinical care.
Okay.
We have 24-hour nursing. We have doctors available at all times. We have 24-hour clinicians available. It is security maintained. It's well staffed. Our staff mm-hmm. ratio for clients to staff is about 1 to 6.
It
so
sounds
it's a very
expensive.
Safe place for them to be.
It sounds expensive. So what are you saying? And he's like, yeah. Well, these things are.
Treatment centers can be expensive, but also they're covered by, you know, insurance as well as private pay. And we've developed a scholarship program that we've implemented for the city of Miami Gardens that will give up to $500,000 a year to help,
really?
To help the clients of that city.
Oh, wow. Okay, so now, so the center is up, but it's not operating yet in Miami Gardens.
We have our clinical building currently in Miami Lakes, and we're licensed
right.
by the Division of Children and Family Services for that facility.
Mm-hmm.
What we're asking for in the Miami Gardens location is a variance to the zoning, to be able to put all of our treatment modalities in that one location.
Okay, so based on the zoning in Miami Lakes, that correct. Is not, that currently is not in place.
Correct.
Okay, so what, so how, like, how long does something like that take?
Well, we're in the process now. We have a hearing December 14th
mm-hmm.
in front of the Miami Council, Miami Gardens Council, and at that time we're going for a vote, hopefully that will allow us to implement the procedure and the program that we like.
Right. Okay. So, you know, in the intro earlier, I mentioned that, you know, there is a lot of pushback sometimes, particularly in residential neighborhoods, to have a treatment center of this sort in their community. Now, would you say that you all are experiencing that in Miami Gardens or no?
We are experiencing a feedback from a lot of the community members in regards to the fact that we're putting it there without their previous knowledge, that they didn't approve of this beforehand, but we've followed all the procedures and all of the regulations in order to renovate the building,
mm-hmm.
in order to start the process for zoning, and then we're doing community outreach, such as right now, and also we've met with several clergy people, we've met
right.
with the community in several outreach formats to introduce the program and to answer their questions. A lot of it is a stigma about treatment, thinking that we're going to house criminals.
Right.
That we have people that are coming from, you know, mental institutions, and our facility is nothing like that.
Right. And I noticed that in your bio and in your history, you've done a lot of work with adolescents.
Correct.
Who are in substance abuse issues. And I think a lot of times that people don't realize when we talk about people who have mental and substance abuse issues that it runs the gamut from 8 to 80. There is no stereotype, there's no prototype on who that person who needs treatment is.
Well, there's, in the United States, it's an endemic situation. One out of seven people in the United States suffer from some sort of addiction, be it substance abuse or mental health.
Wow. One out of seven.
One out of seven.
And that's probably going to increase.
And only 10% of those get treatment. So there's a void, even though people think there's an extraordinary amount of facilities, there's a void in the amount of facilities that are available to treat these people.
Wow. Is there a treatment center similar to Fallen Leaves in our community?
Not in Miami Gardens. Not very many in the Miami-Dade County area. There are some facilities that are similar to ours in Deerfield Beach and mm-hmm. West Palm Beach. The reason we selected this area, for one, was to provide services in an area that was void of the multitude of services in the other counties, and also to provide services for people of color. If you go to the other facilities, you will see maybe 1% of people of color who can receive any services of that kind, and less than 1% of the people treating them are people of color.
Mm. Well, that's certainly true. But, you know, I find that a part of that is that we don't want to talk about it.
Absolutely.
You know, black people, just call a spade, no pun intended, you know, don't want to deal with the fact that they may have a loved one who is challenged, both, you know, drugs or just mental health. As talking to a friend about you coming on the show tonight, and she told me about a person who, in their neighborhood, who used to be sane, but isn't anymore. And the family won't own up to it. And the person has now become a menace to society.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're always they're just a menace. And they don't know what to do. The neighborhood doesn't know what to do.
Working with communities and going to churches and going to schools or talking to the community is that we have a real sort of denial system going on
mm-hmm.
about problems that affect our people and people of color. And it's easy to say, well, that person's just part of our community. It's almost like they become a part of the fabric.
That's crazy, Larry. He's just crazy.
And you think, that's right.
Yeah.
That's crazy, Charlie. And he's mm-hmm. just like that. And so they just sort of acknowledge that they're there, but they don't even pursue any possibility of giving them help.
Right. I wonder why that is. Have you studied why...
We're doing a lot of research.
We're so reticent.
Well, it's not just our culture. All cultures are like that. But I think in what people of color, say Latin Americans and African Americans,
share.
First of all, they're very proud. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to be into a system of denial. It's also easy to think that we can resolve those problems by ourselves.
Right.
And that we'll take care of this situation or we'll take care of that person, or just to accept that they're there and that at some point we can all work around them.
Right. And that's exactly, well, with my friend, that's exactly what's happening with, you know, this woman, is that they're just kind of working around her,
mm-hmm.
you know. But it doesn't help anybody, because it certainly doesn't have, we don't, you know, and in this case, they don't even know what's wrong, what happened. She was in a relationship and then she was crazy. You know what I'm saying? And so a lot of, now she's not an effective member of society anymore.
Absolutely.
And we end up with these, like, throwaway people for lack of... you know, a better way to say that. And we see them now. What percentage of the people that you, would you say that are in the streets are there strictly from mental health issues that don't have anything to do with drugs? Because you treat mental health.
Correct.
As well. What percentage would you say?
Well, we're a dual diagnosis facility, which means substance abuse as well as mental health.
Right.
And there's not one person in this country that hasn't been affected by some mental health disorder at one point in their lives.
Right.
Depression.
I said the squirrel.
And there's different degrees of depression.
Right.
It can go from A to Z.
Right.
You can have dysthymia, and you can still function on a relatively normal basis, and you don't even know that you're depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And until you get some help and you start receiving some therapy, then you can then say, wow, I feel much better. I didn't know that I was, you know, just sort of floating through on an everyday basis and not really reaching my full potential.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've said many times that I wanted to do shows on depression in the Black community because it's real. And in researching that, I researched several papers at the Black Women's Health Initiative. And one of them, they did a study, and they found that the average Black woman walks around with the stress level of a white woman in a mental institution. Now, that's just the average woman, average Black woman.
There is not one person of color, and let's be honest,
yes,
that is not suffering from a major degrees of stress, anxiety, panic attacks, depression.
Yeah.
Okay, just living in our society
produces
that.
And that was with a Black president.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now, you know, are you expecting an upswing?
Well, I think that the fact that substance abuse and mental health are already an endemic,
mm-hmm.
of endemic proportions in our society, it's only going to increase with the fact that if insurance companies don't want to pay, if, you know, federal funding is cut, then what you end up is with people walking the streets completely, you know, incapacitated, or you end up with people in prison.
Right.
And prisons, you know, make a ton of more money than any institution that is put there to help people. That's why they privatize prisons,
right.
Because they're an enormous, you know, moneymaker. So the amount of money you spend on people not working in the workforce, not being productive, and also going into a prison-type facility is, you know, 100 times more than any treatment facility is ever going to cost
right.
them.
Yeah, and that's ever going to cost any municipality. So now, the Fallen Leaves, is this a, are we the first? Is Florida the first for Fallen Leaves, or do you have them in other parts of the country?
Under this name, it's the first.
Okay.
I've developed programs all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We hand-selected our staff. We, you know, personally looked at, you know, not only finding the right location for this, but also picking the staff. We have over 200 years of competency and experience
mm-hmm.
with our staff. You know, we have psychiatrists, we have medical directors, we have addictionologists, we have psychologists, we have counselors, we have therapists, we have doctors of acupuncture, doctors of chiropractic services, we have doctors of nutrition. So we're a fully competent
360
staff. Absolutely.
Comprehensive kind. And now, do you find that people of color find it challenging to come to you and say, you know, we have a problem and we need your help?
Well, part of what we're doing...
Is that part of your outreach?
That's part of our outreach.
Yeah.
Because it's very difficult for people to walk up and say. I had one gentleman that did come to me about his son, and he said, you know, I've been to five or six places and everybody turned me away. His son doesn't have insurance. And, you know, he's a resident of Miami Gardens. And his son has already been in our program under our scholarship program. And he's already received full services and is still continuing to receive services.
Right.
But it took the father to come to us and say, my son has a problem. The son is in his own denial system
right.
because he's actively using and has some mental health issues. And so he's not going to acknowledge that he has any problems.
Right. What would you encourage someone to do who is in that situation that knows that they have somebody that is suffering from substance and mental abuse, and they are just, you know, they're pacifying it now by saying that's just, you know, that's just your crazy Uncle Larry who keeps exposing himself to the neighborhood children. What would you say to somebody, you know, having that experience on how you get them into treatment? How do you get people to stop normalizing it and, you know, and reach out?
Part of it for us is to... You know, one of our outreach systems is to work with the community, to offer in-services and seminars, to educate people on the symptomology. The other thing is to work with the school systems to be able to provide educators and so forth. Teachers are overwhelmed trying to be teachers. They don't have time to be therapists.
Right.
So we try to help them understanding what's going on with kids that might be prone to, you know, being involved with gangs, kids that are depressed, kids that are having suffered from anger issues, kids that are spending too much time on the Internet, that are involved in pornography and things of that nature.
Right.
Kids that are possibly being trafficked, because human trafficking is abundant.
Huge here. Yes. Yeah. And we're seeing it more and more. I'm hearing it more and more about children. A friend had her 8-year-old come home and tell her about I can't even say it on the radio, but it was a sexual activity that they were doing in her school. And she's eight.
Eight.
And these things just didn't exist. What would you... Now, you are a technician. This is your field. You've been here for a long time. Where was the shift? What happened? How did we get here?
Well, first of all, the internet. And we have to be honest about that. 70% of the internet is adult material.
Content.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, guess what? Who knows how to run the websites and internet better?
Kids.
Kids.
Yeah.
So adults don't even know and realize that what kids have access to.
Yeah.
And people that are involved in these type of, you know, promoting this material are able to, you know, infiltrate any website. And so you would have children on websites, yeah, and kids on websites, and all of a sudden it just pops up. And so these kids are seeing things, or they're smart enough to seek them out. And family members and parents, you know, and other family members don't have any awareness of how to even block or
right,
even understanding what's going on with those kids when they see certain behaviors. So part of our outreach is to educate parents, not only what the internet does, but also how to look for symptomology if your kid's spending too much time on the internet.
Yeah.
Nobody should have computers in their room without access to the parents, knowing all the codes or having access to that computer where they can actually see what's going on that computer with their children. So when kids are in their room by themselves and having access to the computer and parents are saying they're up there on the computer, they're doing work,
right,
you have no idea.
You know what? That just made me think about that. What is that program that you have on the computer when, like, when you have something technically wrong with their computer and you can call up IT and they can, you know, they program in something and they can read your computer. What is that? Somebody call me. You know what I'm talking about?
They can tap right in.
Right, they can tap. You can plug them in and they can watch. They can actually manipulate everything on your screen. Parents should have that ability. Oh, you can just sit in your room and watch whatever your kids are watching in their rooms. Somebody who knows what that is, call me. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back on the other side with Nathan Fears from the Fallen Leaves Recovery Center and more. I have some other people in the studio. Maybe they'll come on. Come on over to the microphone and share with us. Stay tuned. I am Jill Tracy and this is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
We'll be right back on Hot 105.
The Miami Funfest returns.
It was so big last year, we needed 2 days to fill it in.
And Star V Icons, TLC,
Show
to
see.
Come and talk to me.
They'll live the ball.
Hey, girl, it's crazy.
Guys, featuring Teddy Riley. Drew Hill. SWV.
And the 305's Trick Daddy.
And it's all hosted by Uncle Luke, December 9th and 10th at the Miramar Regional Park in the beautiful city of Miramar.
And you know how 105 has the most free tickets.
We're giving away 8 pairs a day, 7 days a week, nonstop until December 9th. So lock all of your radios to 105.1 and listen to win your free tickets.
And this could be you.
The Miami Funk Fest
is brought to you by Variety Entertainment.
And today's R&B and Old School.
Hot 105.
For more, go to hot105fm.com or download our free app in your app store for more chances to win.
Once again, here I find myself awash in the forgotten refuse of some moron's pocket. Completely underutilized.
Tanya, looking good, girl.
Oh, look at him out there, grinning like an idiot, happily air-guitaring along to his expensive streaming music service.
Tony, my man.
Completely unaware that I could cut his data usage by 92% and extend his battery life by 75%. Ignorance is bliss, eh, buddy?
Ah, there you are, my friend. Just in time for Live at 5.
Daylight? You mean you haven't forgotten?
What, you? The incredible, reliable, free radio receiver built into my smartphone?
Well, I guess I am pretty good.
Good. Come on. I'd say pretty great. Thanks to you, I save on streaming costs and avoid battery drain.
Live and local wherever you go. Download Next Radio on any Samsung Galaxy S7, S7 Edge, or Note 7 phone. Now available on every carrier.
What makes the holidays so great? Plenty of refreshing Coca-Cola and those unsung holiday heroes who make the season extra special. Like the guy at the end of the block braving sub-zero temperatures to put the best light display in the neighborhood. Or the driver working overtime to drop off last-minute gifts. Or even Kris Kringle himself. So swing by El Bodega this holiday season. Stock up on delicious Coca-Cola and take a moment to share one with your holiday hero. Taste the feeling.
Tom Joyner in the morning. The Tom Joyner Morning Show. And everybody knows it's on 105.1.
This is the Flyjack Sound Board.
Next week on the TJMS.
I'm on vacation. Skip is in the big chair.
With Chef Huda.
On Monday. On Tuesday, Damon Williams with Seriously Ignorant News and Kim Burrell.
Get well Wednesday.
Thursday, it's the TJMS at its best.
And Friday,
Hugga announces the Bama of the Week. All next week on the TJMS.
And we're back Monday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. with the best music information and what's happening in our community.
To join Hot Talk, call 888-550-9105. And now, back to Hot Talk.
I fear that you'll be gone for good, so now hold on like leaves and fall to what is left. Said a father left a young man. He said he'll be back with that same tone that you just said you'll stay forever with.
It
seems that all the autumn leaves the fall. I feel like you're the only reason for it. All the things you do, all the things you do.
Welcome back to Hot Talk. Those of you know, and so every and the next time somebody tells you that Chris Brown don't do nothing but play this song for him, it's Autumn Leaves. It's off of his last album. Welcome back to Hot Talk, 888-550-9105. Give us a call if you have questions for Nathan Fears. Do you have that crazy Uncle Larry in your family that exposes himself on Thanksgiving? Mm-hmm. You need to not give him another drink and deal with his illness. And Nathan can help you. 888-550-9105. We will, we're going to spend the next 20 minutes, we got like 20 minutes left, taking calls and sharing information because, you know, it is no joke that we do not like to share, we don't like to share a lot, which keeps us stuck in our, thank you. But mental illness and mental health and depression is real. You know, I will share that I'm working on some other stories now on how in the black community that we don't like to move our family members to assisted living centers, facilities. I hate the word facility, but that it's just not in us. You know, I remember when I was younger, you know, they would say, you know, you could prop grandma up in a living room in a hospital bed if you have to, but you do not put nobody away. But life has changed. Though, you know, back in those days, we had families, we had extended families. There were 6, 7, 8, 12 members of your family, usually in the city that you lived in. There was always somebody that could come watch Big Mama. And those days are changing. And you have a lot of people. I'm definitely one of those people. Who has tried to juggle taking care of an ailing parent, a parent. My mother has dementia. She developed it early at 65 and developed several illnesses after. And I did my best to care for her and take care of her until one day I called my cousin walking to Ocean Drive. And I said, listen, tell me something that's going to make me not walk headlong into this water. Tell me something right now. Because it is, I was walking around with the stress level of a white woman in three mental institutions. And there are many women like me. We have these conversations over, many people, period. We have these conversations over coffee, over cocktails, over too much food, over everything else we indulge in, not to deal with the reality of the situation. So Nathan Fears is here from the Fallen Leaves Recovery Center, to talk about that. You know, when you have people come in who do, cross the throne, do you have those challenges with particularly, us, particularly women, who, don't, that want to take on all the responsibility and feel like you could fix, what's wrong with their loved ones?
Well, the number one situation for addiction, either with substance abuse such as opioids or mental health such as stress, depression, is with women.
Mm.
Women suffer from more mental health illnesses than men do.
Yeah.
Because of just what you're saying. They're the mothers, sometimes they're the sole breadwinner.
Right.
They're fragmented families. There's no extended family. They take on the role of not only young children to take care of them, but also taking care of their mothers and fathers and mm-hmm. so forth. So the stress level is tremendous, and we sort of think that's just the nature of the game. But what happens is that person, can't cope with the daily situations that they're faced with, and at some point they're run down.
Right.
They're to the point where they're actually worse than some of the people they're trying to care for.
Care for, yeah. Brother Al on line one. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk. Line two, sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Jill?
Yes, sir.
Don't forget, when I see you, I'm going to hold you so much, I'm going to set a record. There ain't nobody going to tell me away from you. Brother Nathan?
Thank you.
Yes.
Do you have any pamphlets or any films or DVDs or anything we can spread in the community, your message?
We have a website, which is www.fallenleavesrecovery.com, which will give you basic information about our program, about certain illnesses, mental health situations, substance abuse situations. We have pamphlets available. We put out articles on a regular basis that will educate. And then we have other avenues if someone, makes a call that we can refer you to help you with that particular situation.
Thank you very much. Brother Nathan, may Allah continue to bless you. Brother King, Brother Baldway, and that Sister Jill.
Yes.
This is a program. We was taught years ago about loneliness that's going to be rampant amongst us. We're not going to have nobody to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Insanity, confusion, madness. We just have been what you call rejected, neglected, excluded, and this is done by design.
Yes.
I'm just going to tell you like it is. And we said years ago, one of the best things to do right now is don't give your children and us no games to look to, that we just have to receive everything that's being said and showed.
Right.
And you can't respond. It's not a voice like Brother Nathan and Brother King and Brother Broadway and that sister and yourself is talking. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be for real.
Right.
All this other crap that's artificial, doesn't it occupy your attention, is not feeding you inside like you should, let that crap go. And it's addictive. I watch people. I have to talk to people sometimes when they're around me. Look, please, I'm trying to talk to you. Stop moving your finger on them games they be playing with all the time.
Yeah, that's funny, Brother Al. We were having a conversation earlier about how people just deflect. They will watch reality shows to try and deflect themselves from the reality, and how it's like sugar. There's no redeeming nutritional value to it whatsoever.
Thank
yeah.
you, sister. Look, we got to love one another, and like that brother said, we got to help them brothers out there trying to help us.
Yeah.
We gonna have weak people, confused people, people that's out of it because they're not fed in school and church. That's another thing we discuss. I don't care how many people is here and where they from. I guarantee you they got a church and a Bible wherever they come from.
Right.
I went to a funeral Saturday, and Sister Brother Nathan Brother King, y'all kind of relieved me a little bit because my heart's been heavy with what I witnessed Saturday at the funeral, and the people need help. They looking for some kind of guidance, some kind of light. We all been plunged in the total darkness and confusion. We hate it. We reject it. It's just a mess.
Yeah.
So, y'all, let's support these brothers, and we all sick. The doctor said that years ago. It's going to be so much loneliness and confusion and insanity. He said if you had enough, if everybody was supposed to be in the insane asylum, supposed to be there, they wouldn't have enough room.
They wouldn't have enough room. Yeah.
So I'm this is serious. We're confronted with that.
It's true.
Our communities now, everybody's off to themselves, some kind of little organization they in. They're not communicating with people. People from different cultures and all that. We got to let this crap go and get for real, people.
Yeah. Thank you, Brother Al.
About the same thing Brother Nathan and Brother King and Brother Broadway and that sister talking about.
Yeah.
Don't you think you're going to be exempt from it?
Right.
Y'all better get y'all behind and involved and let's do what we got to do.
Amen.
And help those that need to be helped with what little strength we might have.
Thank you, Brother Al. I love you. Love you, love you, love you. It's so true. You know, we think that we've had, that we got issues now. 100 days from now, there's no telling what apocalyptic foolishness we're going to be looking at. So, you know, when it comes to people being able, now I jokingly said that, you know, this sounds expensive, but when it comes to treatment, because that is a barrier for a lot of people, and they won't even broach the subject because I ain't got no money like that. So when you talk about treatment, you know, like, what are we talking about? Because a lot of the people that we're talking about are veterans.
Correct. Well, everybody doesn't need to be in an inpatient facility.
Right.
First of all, that's why one of the things we do for outreach and for community services is to offer seminars and educational trainings and so forth. And that's for the regular community, as well as for veterans, as well as for people in the clergy, because heaven knows they're stressed too. So we also offer services for school systems. We offer services in surrounding parenting groups and teaching people how to communicate better with their kids.
Are you finding a lot of kids, parents reaching out for treatment? Because I've just noticed of late, the kind of violence among children has reached a level that I had never thought I'd ever see in my lifetime. I mean, just really kind of heinous crime and murders among young people.
Well, a lot of that goes to our whole sort of society and what we accept as being normal. And that's from video games, that's from movies we let them see, that's from music we let them listen to. All those things play a factor. And when you're talking about children, you're talking about kids that are not developmentally appropriate and competent to be able to handle those type of things. So, you know, for young men, literally, you can have men to be 24, 25, up to 30 years old before they're mature to be able to understand certain things. Now, girls and females are a little bit quicker than that. But when you have this information that's on display and accessible by kids that are 6, 7, 8 years old and up to 15, then it's impossible for them not to be confused and not to be in a situation where they're making irrational and inappropriate decisions.
Yeah.
So part of what we try to do is to educate parents, for one. The other thing is establishing boundaries. Most of our kids don't have any boundaries.
Right.
And what we're looking at is the school system being the sort of total package for implementing boundaries and structure and so forth. When you have classrooms that are overcrowded, you have teachers that have to be not only teachers, but they have to be nurses, they have to be psychologists, they have to be therapists. That's not their job.
Right.
So part of what we try to do is to not only help the school, but also to help the community and being able to understand how to set boundaries, how to set structure, how to formulate a pattern, how to communicate with their kids appropriately.
And somebody did you say the word boundaries when I had the blessing to be mentored by Iyanla Van Zandt for over a year. And one of the first things that she said to me about, because boundaries always sounded like negative to me, like this is what I can't have and it's what I can't do. And she said to me that boundaries are constructs put in place to keep you safe.
Correct.
And it changed the whole paradigm of that the things that you should not do and you should have boundaries in these relationships are for your good. It's not to keep something away from you that you want.
Right.
And you're right. I find that young people don't, a lot of them now don't really have any. They don't, young girls who come from homes, more than not, and I can speak to it because I'm one of them, don't have a structure of what a man, how a man is supposed to treat you. So therefore, they don't know where to place him in their life.
Correct.
And everything that they've seen, if they don't have a parent that's really there guiding them, everything they see now really kind of demeans who they are, and that you are an object for men to decide what they want to do.
Correct.
With you.
One of the things we try to work on, especially with adolescents, is teaching boys what's appropriate and how to be a young man.
Yeah.
And that's with boundaries. That's with structure. That's learning manners. You know, in my generation, you know, I have my mother and fathers and, you know, friends who are still alive, and they're much older, and I still address them as Mr. and Mrs.
Right.
You know, that's almost unheard of.
Heard of now, right.
You know, in our society.
Yeah.
And teaching young girls what their expectations should be and how they should expect a young man to treat them.
Yeah.
And how they should respect themselves. So all that's part of what we try to teach and help with the school, but also what we can teach parents to help them implement some of those things with their children.
Yeah. So now, so Fallen Leaves in Miami Gardens is, I mean, in Miami Lakes is up and running.
Yes.
And you can contact, where can people contact you at?
Our 800 number is 844.
Is it on my card?
638-5323.
Okay. And I'll put that up on the Hot 105 Facebook page as well. If you could get, what, it's not on here. 1-800, or am I missing it? I'm missing it. 1-800, no, 844-638, okay, yeah, 638-5323. Oh, Leaf, hello.
Correct.
Okay. So, the Fallen Leaf, is that sort of like an acronym, or how did you come up with that name?
Well, we had some deliberation about, you know, a brand. And
yeah.
One of the things we came up with after much deliberation was to look at a fallen leaf, but then, you know, let's say fall hits and leaves start to fall, but then, you know, there's a renewal. There's a rebirth that happens seasonally. And one of the things with the fallen leaf is that you can have a renewal. You can have a rebirth and restoration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, that came from. And so we decided that it was a appropriate title. And we want people, if you're a fallen leaf, but then you can be a restored leaf.
Right, you can
and
be
you
restored.
You can be a golden leaf.
And so, and now you do, now we've seen, what is that show, the Interventions?
Correct.
Now, do you do those? Or is that real or is that just television?
Well, there's a reality show, of course, you know, to that.
Right.
But I'm a certified interventionist. And so interventionists are real. And part of the reason that you have an intervention is to provide the family with the structure and how to help one of their loved ones get into therapy. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Because most people don't acknowledge they have a problem. So if
right.
I'm using drugs or I have a mental health issue, and I think my life is just fine, as long as you leave me alone.
Right.
Everything's good. You guys are messed up. I'm fine.
Right.
So that intervention is to help the family set up a system and a process to get that person confronted and to find a program that's suitable for them, that's
right.
appropriate for them, because every program's not appropriate for every person.
I was going to say, how often does that work when you have to go in, you know, when you set up an intervention? What would you say the success rate is of those people who go through the program?
Well, intervention can be set up. It normally takes probably 3 to 4 days. There's a lot of assessments done. There's a lot of letters. There's a lot of requirements of the family. There's
mm-hmm.
a pre-assessment that you meet the family previous to the time you do the actual intervention.
Right.
And then when you set up the intervention, either with an adolescent or adult, you basically have everything in order and in place, and you're confronting that person. Now, one of the things that are successful with intervention is to use leverage. And with the mm-hmm. adolescent, the leverage is different because they're underage.
Right.
And parents have the right to put their children into a therapeutic facility because they're the elders and they're responsible for them.
Mm.
With adults, it's different. You have to have them agree, but if you have leverage, say the family says you can't live in my house anymore, or we're basically going to disassociate ourselves because our whole family is being affected by this, and you're basically isolating that person, or if they have job responsibilities and the job says you can't work anymore because
right.
it's detrimental to our workplace, or if there's any legal consequences and so forth, mm. then you can help get that person into some kind of therapy.
Yeah, and your success rate with?
Oh, my interventions, I've probably done 500 of them, and I think probably 450 of them were successful in getting them
awesome.
Through a treatment program.
Getting them in, yeah.
Yes.
And what is the recidivism rate of?
Well, treatment varies. I think, first of all, you look at different levels of
success.
Because
we hear celebrities all the time. They've been in 20, what is the child's name? Not Miley Cyrus, one of them. one of them. She's been in 25 times.
Correct.
And it just keep going, you know.
Well, first of all, celebrity rehabs are celebrity rehabs. They're not necessarily requiring that client to be a normal client. They're giving them too many liberties. Mm. They have access to doing too many things. You know, you have to have constraints within that system. They can't have access to doing anything they want. And success rate is based on not only the time you spend in an inpatient treatment facility, but once you leave there, you have to have follow-through for up to 24 months at minimum, 2 years. And that can be in an outpatient program. It can be with a recovering coach. It
right.
can be with a mentor. It can be going through AA meetings, NA meetings. Your family is also invested in that recovery process. You can have an entire schedule set up for you that is reviewed weekly with a therapist, that is reviewed monthly to see if there are any changes, and you follow that person for 24 months. That success rate goes incredibly high. It's 75%
yeah.
that a person may be maintained
awesome.
In sobriety
yeah.
up to 5 years at that point. Once you establish a foundation
right.
and you set up a routine of being sober or being healthy, then it's easier to maintain that. We're looking at people that have used drugs for 30 years. You're not going to get somebody sober in 30 days.
Right.
You know,
right.
people that have had mental illnesses for 15, 20 years, they have to be in a system where it's long-sustaining treatment.
Right. And when we talked about, you know, women who are, you know, head of household kind of suffering from depression, do you work with them? Like, if you are, you know, you think you are, better question, what are the symptoms of depression that many people just blow off as I'm tired or whatever? Like, you know, how do you know the difference when, I'm stressed out, I'm doing too much, or, okay, this might be a problem?
Well, first of all, if you're stressed, you still can work on that. Because, first of all, how do you sleep? Okay, do you get
okay.
enough sleep?
Mm-hmm.
What do you eat? What's your nutrition?
Mm-hmm.
What's your exercise?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how do you communicate with people? Do you have sort of different outlets? You know, do you do different things as far as activities are concerned? Or are you just stuck in this mundane routine that basically just runs you into the ground?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so people have different levels of stress, different levels of depression. So like I said, someone can be depressed and not even know it.
No, I was going to say, because I think that there are a lot of people, particularly women, who, you've heard that that old wives' tale about the, you know, the dog that sat on the nail, and he just sat on the nail so long until, you know, he didn't even feel it no more.
Right.
And then when he switched positions, it hurt. And, you know, I think there are a lot of us walking around like that, that just have not switched positions to realize this nail is really
Correct.
Killing me.
And they don't have coping skills, and they don't have alternative plans set up to be able to do different things. And so it's a huge educational process
yeah.
for people to undergo, whether it's males or females, adolescents or adults, to basically say, okay, we're going to change our lifestyle.
Right.
This is a lifestyle change. Okay. And the 12 steps and whatever other modalities you use for therapy are incorporated in changing that entire lifestyle.
Yeah.
If you keep doing the same thing over and over, you know, looking for things to change, that's the
oh my God, the definition of insanity. I said that driving here today. I was on the phone with someone, and I said, that's the definition of insanity. You keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. But I think people get stuck in their stuff. You know, like they get stuck in bad relationships. They get stuck, you know, and they just don't know how to, you know, break out. They wait until something tragic or violent happens before, you know, they take their lives back.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's important for people to understand that part of getting help is to acknowledge that there's people that can help you.
Mm-hmm.
And to be willing to say, okay, maybe I don't understand all this, and maybe, you know, I'm not even thinking it's that bad, but I can at least
right.
go and get an assessment. I can at least ask someone. I can at least, you know, look for some, you know, assistance from someone else
yeah.
that can give me some hints, or that can give me some ideas, and then I can sort of focus on some things that I may need to change.
And there's no shame in that.
People are very embarrassed.
Yeah.
And there's a stigma with mental health. There's a stigma with substance abuse, that people think that they're criminals. Those aren't criminals. Those are sick people.
Right.
You know, there's a difference between the people that are in prison for criminal acts and people that are in prison for substance abuse or mental health illnesses.
Right.
And we've got that all confused, and we're putting those people in the same situations, and that's an injustice not only to those people, but to our entire society. And what happens is our prisons are overrun. Most of those people need therapy. They don't need to be incarcerated.
Right. Sheriff Scott Israel Mark, remember that night we talked about that, and he said that there's, you know, so many people who they are on the street, they get arrested, they throw them in jail for a couple of days, and they have to put them back out on the street because, you know, it's not a rehab center, it's jail, it's, you know.
And that becomes a revolving door for them.
Yeah.
The process. And then people don't understand that costs us an enormous amount of money to keep doing that without getting people the help that they require.
Yeah. 888-550-9105 in our last couple of minutes if you have questions for Nathan. Feel free to call. You know, and the last time that we, you know, talked about challenging health issues when it comes to depression and addiction, and you know, we found the same thing, that people just are just very reticent to share. You know, people are going to recognize my voice, or, you know, so something to that effect.
One of the things we do is we provide complete anonymity.
Yeah.
So, you know, people can call the 800 number. They can, you know, they don't even have to say who they are at first. There's an entire process of, you know, sort of doing an assessment to tell people what they might need. Some people, you know, they may need an outpatient therapist. Some people need to go to different meetings. Some people need to look at literature and certain things. Some people have more capabilities to sort of resolve some of their issues than others. Those people that fit that criteria that needed some kind of inpatient or outpatient facility, you know, we will help them and recommend, you know, the appropriate placements for them.
So have you got any people in the past 2 weeks that are, you know, having post-traumatic Trump disorder?
I think we don't have enough room for
for those people.
Those people. That's a whole different. We need a small country to be able to take care of that situation.
You know, I mean, somebody in that profession. I mean, you know, everybody is talking. There's a new book that CNN has just put out, Unprecedented, and everybody's just talking about, oh my God, how did it ever happen? How do we see? Why do we see this coming? But as a health practitioner, somebody who, you know, really kind of studies the mind. How did this happen? Do you think, I mean, I keep having this conversation. So with different, everybody has a different place where they enter. And, you know, one of the thoughts that I've heard shared often is that this is the backlash of, you know, white men who are, you know, just who plotted from the day he got in office on how, you know, he was going to be a one-term president. And then, you know, there are others that Donald Jones is a professor. He was on the show earlier last year, and I got to have Donald back, because he said to me that almost at the beginning of the campaign that he could see something like this happening because white men have lost their narrative, that just being a white man assured you basically a middle class living. You'd be able to work and take care of your family, you know, with a basic high school education. And that just is no longer the case. And so their anger and frustration at A, not being educated enough, and B, that not being enough anymore, led to this vitriolic campaign. And it's not so much, you know, I think that, and you tell me what you think about Trump as somebody who has studied people like that. I don't think that it's so much. What is said to me, and why I really get a headache when I start thinking about it, is everything that my parents taught me, everything that my life is based on, about how you conduct yourself and how you move through life. You work hard. You study. You're smart. You, all of those things. His election threw out the window. Like, all that matters is if you win. That's it.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter how you did it, but that you win. And how do you reconcile with that? How do you now teach? How do I tell the girls that I mentor now? No, you have to be of good moral fiber. That's what's important. How now in this world do you espouse those values when the president of the free world just said, hey, grab them by the...
Correct. I think it's important to understand...
You can do whatever you want.
...that if you look at elections from the past, we go back 30 years, you go back, you know, 20 years, and a campaign was run with human decency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there were things that followed the protocol. There were things that you could not say, and people wouldn't even think about saying.
Right.
Human decency in this campaign election was thrown completely out of the window. So what happened was, when someone says certain things and people become used to it, it becomes the norm.
Right.
So that behavior became the norm from the Republican campaign up to him being the Republican candidate. Those insane things that people were saying about each other, and those were Republicans about Republicans, were insane, but they became the norm. And then from that point, everything else became the norm. So it became accepted to basically lose all human decency. This election was about, like you say, winning. There's no human decency involved in that process. And not only are people in this country appalled by it, but what happened was you could see it coming. And even though Mrs. Clinton won the popular vote, if there were 6 million people that didn't vote, that voted at the last election.
Yeah.
If you had 3 million of those people that voted, we wouldn't be talking about
this. We wouldn't be here. Yep. Ray from Miami Gardens. Coral Gables on line three. Hi, welcome, Ray.
Thanks for having me, guys. I've been listening for a little while. I'm a big fan of I Want to Fight, for the record, and since I was a kid. Now, as a Hispanic guy, right, I'm brown, so we have the stigma, right, that we can't be depressed because it's a sign of weakness, and it's not enough fiber, so to speak. But when I realized that I was suffering from depression, I was about 15 years old, but my mother, she didn't understand. Mm-hmm. And in my 30s now, like I still fight it hard to seek treatment because I feel that it's weird. You know, you don't tell somebody your problems.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I hate to use the term minority, but as a minority, I feel that our pride overtakes not as a pun, but it trumps our needs.
Right. No, you're right, Ray. Thank you so much for your Nathan.
I agree with you. I think it's important. It's important for people of color to understand that, you know, we all have this sort of false sense of pride, and we've been taught, especially young men, that you have to be strong and you don't acknowledge or present any problems.
Yeah.
And that's not a man that does that. Understand, a man is a person who can say, I have an issue, I have a problem, and I'm going to seek help.
Awesome. Ray, and you are that man. I thank you, Ray and Coral Gables, so much for your call. Jason, we are up at the end of the show in Fort Lauderdale, so I'm sorry we didn't get to your call, but thank you for calling, and thank you all for listening. Nathan, thank you so much.
I think
we did some good work here, and I will put up the information on the Hot 105 Facebook page for those of you who weren't able to call in and you want to follow up with Fallen Leaves Recovery Center. And I will talk to you on, in a few hours. How about that? Right back here with James T. Thank you so much, Nathan, for coming, and I hope that you will come back.
Absolutely.
And thank you all, because we were talking about what we're going to do for Christmas. And I said, you know, that song, What Do the Lonely Do at Christmas? And Prince wrote a beautiful song. Last night I spent another lonely Christmas. I think we're going to deal with that. Okay, Marcus, like, wrap it up, honey. Okay, I got to go. Love you, mean it. Bye-bye. Chill, Tracy. Hot 105. We'll see you next Sunday.
Hot Talk with Jill Tracy.
Always live.
Always local.
Always entertaining and educating South Florida.
Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
The views and opinions expressed on Hot Talk, guests and callers, are not necessarily those of WHQT, Hot 105, or Cox Media Group. Our studios and offices are located at 2741 North 29th Avenue in Hollywood, Florida. Join us next week for more of Hot Talk on Hot 105.
Thanksgiving is upon us, and it's time to say thanks. And that's just what the referral service at 1-800-411-PAIN would like to do. We want to say thank you for entrusting us with your personal injury needs. Now it's about spending quality time with family, friends, and eating some diet-busting Thanksgiving food. So from all of us at 1-800-411-PAIN, have a happy Thanksgiving. Remember, please don't drink and drive, and always wear a seatbelt.
In honor of World AIDS Day, Cox Media Group, AIDS Healthcare Foundation, Miami-Dade Health Department, and Congresswoman Frederica Wilson invite you to join us Friday, December 2nd from 1 until 6 p.m. at Miami Government Center, 101 Northwest 1st Street. We'll have giveaways while you're getting your free one-minute confidential HIV test. Know your status.
This is Peter Thomas, and you're listening to WHQT, Coral Gables, Miami Hot 105, a Cox Media Group station.
Own a business but baffled by digital marketing? CMG Local Solutions can help you take out all the guesswork out of digital marketing. Reach the right customer with a simple online marketing solution that is right for you. Learn more at cmglocalsolutions.com.
Quitting tobacco isn't easy. In all honesty, it's a very hard thing to do. The good news is, Tobacco Free Florida is here to help you quit your way by offering the free support and tools you'll need to succeed. For the do-it-yourselfers, there's WebQuit, a free online resource that gives you access to tools, tips, and support to help you quit tobacco at your own pace. Just log on to tobaccofreeflorida.com and see how you can start your plan. It doesn't matter how many times you've tried to quit, now is your time to succeed. Along with WebQuit, we offer a series of additional proven tools to help you quit your way, such as GroupQuit and PhoneQuit. You're just a click away from starting your quit plan. The time is now to quit your way, so double your chances of success by calling 1-877-YOU-CAN-NOW or connect.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.